Well, let's thank the band for leading us. Thank the band for leading us at all of our sites in a great, great way. It's good to have everyone here tonight. As you might be able to notice, we're sort of in transition right now. We've got a little bit of an AstroTurf field. Why would we have an AstroTurf field on a Wednesday night? I don't know why. Might be because we have a little surprise coming for all of us this Sunday and this Saturday. It's really great to be able to have our last Wednesday, also a vision night tonight, with all of our sites together. Oakley, Florence, Mason, welcome. It's great, 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 great. And just want to let all the people who are sort of in front of me know, if you had too much coffee and you stand up to go wee, you will distract everybody in those sites, because they will see you sit up in the middle. So if you think, I think I'm not going to be able to hold it for another 35 minutes, just go right now. All of you go right now and find another little location, because it really could throw other people off of their visual game. But this has been a really interesting season for us. We're almost through the end of 2014. Someone said to me the other day, Happy New Year. And I thought, Happy New Year? Dude, you're about 25 days too late. They said, no, actually, New Year, you could say it all the way through the end of January. So, oh, really? Great. So, happy New Year. So, that means this message is as relevant as possible. We're not 1/12 of the way through the year. We're still at the beginning of the year. And already, really fun stuff has been happening around Crossroads. Last night, if you're an American, you might have, and you had the opportunity, you might have watched the State of the Union address. This is tonight a bit of the State of the Union of Crossroads. Now, I wasn't at the television to watch the State of the Union address last night because here in Oakley, we had Mark Burnett and Roma Burnett, arguably the most successful television entrepreneur of our time, who was here with us. We kind of sat right here on this stage and unpolished the entrepreneurial ministry that a bunch of entrepreneurs have started up through an event. And my goodness, it was a full house, probably with everybody in the auditorium, in the atrium, about 3,500 people. It wasn't just people who were part of Crossroads. Probably our guess is 40% of people outside of Crossroads were here. People from the business community, people from NKU were set up from the business department and the arts department. Same with UC, other entrepreneurial official organizations here in Cincinnati brought people here, and it was an awesome. And how many of us were here in all of our sites? Wasn't it fun? Very, very, very fun. So I'm really excited to talk tonight because there's already in 2014 great things that are happening. And as I talk about some of the other things that are going on, I think all of us are hopefully going to have three things happen tonight. We're going to have some education. We're going to have some inspiration, and we might also have some conviction. Those three things may happen at the same time, and let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for giving me the opportunity, giving us the opportunity to be a part of a community, a part of a church that is truly having an impact, and where we can see the change in our own lives, in the lives of our friends, and the rolling tide of influence on our city, on our region, and maybe, I might even say, in the world. So may my words be clear tonight, may they be the words that you want to be given, and may they please you in all manners of your personality. I pray these things according to your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, a passage I want to look tonight comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. And it's a pretty important one because it's repeated three times. And there's different nuances depending on who's recounting it, but we're going to go straight forward with the reporting of Matthew, who experienced this. And it says this: when he, Jesus, arrived in Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him and, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." We'll stop right there. So here we have a centurion who is a Roman official. He is somebody who has major authority in the Gentile world. He doesn't have authority in the Jewish world. And he comes to Jesus on behalf of a friend of his. A friend of his. Actually, it's somebody who works for him. He's a powerful man, and he's got somebody who's a servant of his. And this servant is apparently not just a servant, but he has really taken to him. And they have some sort of relationship here, so much so that he goes, he crosses boundaries, he crosses ethnic boundaries from Gentile boundaries to Jewish boundaries to go and interact with somebody who he understands has power, who he understands who has authority, and he does it on behalf of a friend of his, someone who's important to him. This, in many ways, is rooted in what our vision here is, a crossroads. We've been working against this for a long time. What do? We connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world. And how do we connect seekers? We connect them by friends, connecting with their friends, bringing them to a place where there's an environment where people are growing spiritually, growing to become more and more like Christ. And as more and more people become more and more like Christ and more of those kind of folks are around normal seekers, what happens is combustion, explosion takes place, and there's a ripple effect that changes the world, blesses the world in more ways than we can recount. And we're going after this here in Cincinnati and around our world. We're not just content with big buildings with a lot of people in it. We're not just content with more and more people being rooted in the scriptures. We are content as those things happen, as people come into relationship with Christ and a larger mobilized community. It's blessing the world, which is exactly what Jesus, I believe, had in mind when he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And we said things like, greater things will you do? He expected his followers, communities, come together and do things that he hadn't done because of the power of community. How many of us in here have ever gone to Buena Brasa? Anybody gone to the Brazilian steakhouse? It's pretty, and some of us are going, yeah, because you've been there and your colon still is not the same. It's like, oh, man. You actually got a little memento of Buena Brasa, however you say it, when you came in today. This little thing you got when you came in, we'll be using this in a moment. This is the go, no-go signal that tells the servers that you want mo food, bring it on. I mean, they try to, if you ever go there, they really try. I've been there twice, same mojo. You go in, you go, oh, man, what an amazing salad bar. It's awesome. It's like amazing fruits and vegetables, all good, and they've got some fish there. It's like, oh, you start chowing down on this, and then they start to bring the meat out, and you go, you little rat bastard, you just want to try to fill up my stomach with salad so that I couldn't eat all the meat. I mean, we are talking, they bring it on, and they don't, so long as you have green that is up, they will bring you more colon-cramming matter than you can possibly imagine. And then when you got enough, you kind of turn it over to green, turn it over to red, and they like come by and they're okay, more. Or turn it over just like that. I want us to get in a posture tonight of going from perhaps red being up, saying, not sure that I want any more, to green being up. I'm in a posture right now in my life that I want more. I want more. And not only that, I want the things I'm a part of for God to send us more. This is actually something God is calling us to. We have to understand this about what God is inviting us to and including us in. When this really started to sink into my mind in a unique way, it was during the Awaited show. And, you know, Awaited, the shows just go on and on and on and on. And for me, it's pretty much the same every day, the same show. It goes on and on and on. And interestingly, I haven't really been getting, during those shows, I haven't really been tired of it. It's really invigorating to see God using that show in different and unique ways. And the thought that was pressed on my heart this time was something where Jesus said, related to knowledge, but I think it's applicable to anything. He said this, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I started thinking, you know, right now we're sort of just managing the growth of Awaited. We're just thinking through how can we incrementally expand capacity without crushing staff and volunteers. And that's a good thing to think through. But it's a different paradigm to say God has blessed us with something that is the most celebrated Christmas event in the history of Cincinnati. As far as I know, we have more people attend Awaited than we do almost the Nutcracker and Christmas Carol combined. Friends, that is crazy. That is crazy. Actual people who come through the doors of Crossroads and experience Christmas is really amazing. And it's an amazing tool that God has given us. And so we are starting to think, okay, God's given it, and he expects a lot in return. He doesn't expect us to just manage that. He expects us to actually deploy that and put that in. So I'm going, God, whatever, I'm going green. I'm going green. I hope all of us right now, you're going to get the most out of the rest of what I say if your green is up right now. Put the green up. Put it on your lap. Put it on your green. Go green. If you've got any bit in you that is red, this isn't going to be helpful at all for you because Crossroads needs to be in a green posture. God, more. More. Bring more responsibility. Bring more blessings. Bring more people. Bring more opportunity. Bring more. We're okay, more. God, you've given us much, and we have room for whatever you want to bring our way, whatever that is, bring more. And I think that's a big piece of that posture of saying, why is it that a Mark Burnett would come here last night, and the things that took place would take place? I think it's because we're starting to get even more and more in a green posture, and our story continues. The centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus ends up commending a Gentile who's outside of the nation of Israel, outside of the covenantal promises of Israel, who is unkosher, uncircumcised, whatever word you want to give him, he had all the rights to be judged from a Jewish perspective because this guy wasn't, in fact, not only was he not in, he's a part of a country, a regime that's oppressing God's chosen people, the Romans. And yet Jesus says, this guy has something right here that all the sons of Abraham don't have. All the sons of the kingdom, if you will, have. In fact, he says, there's other people who look external like they're part of the sons of the kingdom. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth with them for eternity because though they're around a place, maybe they're around a church, maybe they're inside of a covenant kingdom, visibly, they don't have the faith that this guy has. What is the faith that this guy is exhibiting? Three ideas. Number one, he is exhibiting that great things happen when we are under authority. Great things happen when a great number of us are under authority. He petitions Jesus to come and heal a servant who's close to him, but he doesn't really expect Jesus to come. He's like, Jesus, you actually don't need to come all the way. I don't believe that you have some healing power in your hands that if you just touch the hand to my servant, then he'll be healed. I don't think it's some like voodoo magic. There's something special about your skin. I'm a man under authority. I know that's all. You are the authority. You are the ultimate authority. And so in my physical realm, I tell this person, go and he goes because I'm the authority. Don't do that and don't do that because I'm the authority. You are the authority. So you just have to say the word. You just have to say the word. And it'll be done. And this is what Jesus is amazed by. I'll tell you what, if you want to get Jesus turned on, come under his authority. Don't talk about his authority. Don't talk about godly values. Don't talk about the right thing to do. Come under his authority. That's who fires Jesus up. Anybody who is under his authority and the structures that he ordains. And this is a major part of what we're about here, is people come to Christ, getting them under the authority of Christ. under the authority, not just filling up a building, not just doing nice things when they feel good to us, coming under the authority. And one of the things that's important to Jesus, coming under his authority, is that we do all the things that he said to do. We do all the things that he modeled us to do. When you understand that it's not a good thing when someone's around Jesus and not under his authority. Because people were Jews and around him and not under his authority, and so they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is part of the reason why we do some of the things we do and say some of the things we say, is because it's not a good thing when someone is around Crossroads but not under the authority of Christ, and you're not under the authority of Christ if you're really not under the authority of some local church somewhere. This idea that we can just sort of be wherever we want and kind of have godly values, but we're not under any authority structure, is not seen in the Scriptures. It's an important thing. And so I want to let you know some of the reasons why we've been saying some of the things we've said and done some of the things we've done. I've heard from some since the State of the Union. I'll go into some stuff that I haven't gone into that much, and we might not necessarily do it on the weekend, but interesting to know anyway. I've understood a level of blowback as we came into the end of 2013, all the way through 2013, of trying to follow up really well on game change commitments. Trying to follow up really, really strong on game change commitments. You know, people saying, well, I think we're talking too much about money. It sounds like you're not grateful for what you've had. It's, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. And it's good to hear feedback. It's always good to have feedback. And sometimes a percentage of that feedback is good to hear and accurate. And sometimes a percentage of that feedback is, you know, not necessarily helpful. But here's something that I wouldn't say on the weekend, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to give you a little graph. And the reason why I wouldn't necessarily do it on the weekend, and I even hesitate doing this now, is because as soon as I do this graph, it's going to be really tempting for you to just judge and be upset with somebody else instead of thinking about whether your choices fall under the authority of God. So here we go, a little graphic for us. If this section right here represents everybody who calls Crossroads home, and by everybody who calls Crossroads home, by looking at our database, looking at counting up numbers, how many people attend all of our sites, looking at who's in, who comes to Kids Club, checks in kids, and we have a good idea of the rough number of people who say Crossroads is my home church, who might only come once a month, okay? But that number, who says Crossroads is my church, they or you are involved, of that number, that's not quite up to exactly where I needed to go. Of that number, right about there, two-thirds, oh man, come on, work for me, baby, come on, there we go, two-thirds give $0. $0. And whenever I talk about this, I always hear, well, I actually give cash. Our cash offering, average cash offering every weekend is $4,000. That is 1% of our giving, and yet at least half of everybody I talk to says they give cash. At least. So I want you to think of that. Two-thirds of everyone who comes to Crossroads gives zero. Nada, zero, freebie. That's right, zero. And the total cash offering is $4,000. Following with me so far? All right. Now maybe already you're starting to go, no wonder you've been talking about this as much as you have. Because why? Because this is a spiritual development. This is an authority issue. Now, of these two-thirds here, I would expect a good percentage of these folks would not be in a spiritual place where they would actually be compelled to give. They haven't given over their lives to Christ. They're not, they haven't come under the authority of Christ. So why would they come under the authority of Christ in terms of how to manage finances? Okay? Of that two-thirds, most of all that we've said or I've been saying has actually been geared towards the top third. So who's in the top third? You know, if we come out here and we blow out the top third, what does the top third look like? We've actually, when I talk about money on the weekend, And this is State of the Union. That's why I'm doing this. I assume President Obama talked more about money last night or the deficit or not. No, he didn't. No, he should have. But nonetheless, State of the Union. Of this right here, the bottom third, you would be in the top third if you gave anywhere between $1 and $199. So you're in the top third if you get, so it means if you've given a check, and we know you are, you've gone online, you $1, we just know, if we just know who you are, if you ever get like a giving statement, then you're in the one third. Pat yourself in the back. I'm in the one third. Awesomeness. Wonderful. Great. Now, then if you kind of go even further to the top third here, the top six, the top half of the top third, in other words, the top six, this little itty bitty bitty bit here, you could be in the top sixth of the top third, if I'm not getting too confusing already, of the entire church if you gave $5,000. So if you had an average household income of $50,000 and you tithed, you would be one of the top givers in our church. That's amazing. Now, are you starting to get a little bit of the picture about why I need to be talking more about money? Because what is this here? This is a massive spiritual deficiency. And I would just, you know, ask us to consider, where you know where you are on this. How does this affect and reflect where, you know, your heart is in the authority of Christ? Are you under authority as the centurion is under authority? The amazing thing, how God is so good, we're doing so well even though so many of his people are so unfaithful. Really, he is so good. He is so good. We had 80% fulfillment of our campaign commitment, which is not exactly what we had hoped, but it's about $4 million more than we were projecting coming into our last year. And God has given us enough to make some adjustments. Our spending is down. And so we're in a pretty strong financial place, despite some of the difficulties that we've had. We had a great December with giving. And so we just need to thank, God, thank you so much for being generous to Crossroads. Thank you so much for giving us the ability to have free coffee. Thank you for giving us the ability to have a staff that loves us. Thank you for giving us the ability, God, to give CityLink amazing amounts of money. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving us the capacity to host people who are entrepreneurs like happened last night. God, no matter what happens, we just know you're good, you're faithful. Amen. By the way, what's really cool with this is really fun. You know, our CityLink, as you know, we have a major stake financially in CityLink. We will be giving CityLink this year $750,000. That's awesome. That's awesome that we were able to give that for operating costs, $750,000. And here's what else is awesome about that. What's awesome about that is we were originally projecting to give them $1 million in our normal offerings this year, because you can't just build a building, you have to fund ministry. And here's the great thing about it. The great thing is that because CityLink is becoming more and more self-sufficient, which is what the plan already was, and more people getting involved, we're able, with in partnership with them, to go down to $750,000. Friends, I want you to know, I'd love you to like list how many organizations you know that just give $750,000 to one organization they don't control. Just one. We're not even talking about all the other things that God has blessed us with. It's a time for us to be thankful that we're part of a community. It's under the authority of God. We're under his authority, which is why we're doing this. We feel like he's called us to that. And we're seeing God's blessings as a result of it. Now, Jesus looks at this centurion and says, "You are amazing." He is, oh gosh, I forgot one more thing. I have this little note I want to hear. Here's just an idea for us. I've talked with some people who feel so bad, like I do. You know, the offering bag comes by, our family is giving sacrificially, meaning there's things that we could have that we don't have because of our giving, and I don't carry a lot of cash. The bag comes by, I just keep going. And a lot of people go, "Man, could you just like make a shirt that says, 'I give electronically'?" That way I just wouldn't feel like so much of a loser. I could just, you know, I give electronically. Yeah, I have another idea for us. This is not a way to get you who give electronically to give more. It's not. It's a way for us to exhibit leadership. Because we have so few people give anything, like I said, $4,000 a week when we have about 18,000 people coming a week is crazy. It's crazy. So here's what we can do to just sort of model that there's a lot of givers. What happens is someone comes in here and just assume, well, no one's really giving here. Everybody's just keeping going or someone. It doesn't model it right. And so if you electronically give, if you just get that mobile giving app, and I'm going to do this. I have the mobile give app. Once you've already entered in your information, you can just pull out your mobile and give a dollar. Just give a dollar when you come. Just give a dollar. Not we're trying to generate more money from you, but we'd love to be able to model for other people saying, oh, wow, look, people around here are actually engaged in giving other ways, because the average person coming across us, they don't see anybody engaged at all. They just assume that there's some hyper-billionaire that's funding this all, you know, and it's just not true. So really, I'm going to start doing that myself. When I'm sitting down here and preaching, I'm going to have my smartphone with me, and I'm going to do that every time I have my smartphone with me, even if I have tight jeans on, it's sticking out of my jeans. I'm going to do that every single time. So really, I just ask you to consider joining with me again, not because we want to generate another dollar from everybody who's on eGift, but because we want to do the leadership modeling thing. Number two, great things happen when friends intercede for their friends. Great things happen when friends intercede for their friends. This classic scene, as I said, is recounted three different times. Three different times a friend is healed, and three different times it's somebody else who does the initiation. A couple weeks ago on the weekend, I said that I counted up 41 miraculous healings in the New Testament, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and 34 of them was somebody else instigated other than Jesus. Of that 34, that wasn't all people who themselves instigated it. That also was a friend instigating it. Like this one, this was inside the 34. This person who's paralyzed or in a state of paralysis, they don't approach Jesus. The centurion approaches Jesus. Another time, there's four guys who bring a paralyzed person to Jesus. They hack a hole in a roof. I've talked about this story a number of times. It's an amazing story. They lower a paralyzed guy down the roof. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the person who was paralyzed, who knows, he might not have had any faith at all. Maybe he didn't want to go, but he didn't have any choice. His friends were going to take him. You can't walk away. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. So apparently, you can stand in for someone to receive the blessing of God. You can actually start God's process of working on somebody else by you going and you stepping in. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And we also see this sanctity of friendships. Verse in the Bible where Jesus says stuff like, I no longer call you slaves because a slave doesn't know his master's business, but I call you friends because everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. He equates his relationship with us as a friendship. So there's something sacred about friendships. He honors friendships over and over. I'm just telling you, friends, some of us may have friends who have never had their names lifted before the throne of God. We have friends who no one may have ever said their name to God in prayer. Some of us have friends that the only thing they need to be reached is for one friend to go for them and bring them to a place or go for them to a place. I just assume whenever I have a friend in my life and I'm praying for him, I just assume the reason he's my friend is because God's called me to be involved in his life, and it's through me that God's going to touch him significantly. I just assume that. I'm telling you, always assume whoever God has you around. Why would the centurion be concerned about a servant? He must have been thinking, this is by divine appointment. This guy is in my household. And he goes to Jesus, and Jesus, when he sees his attitude of friendship, something happens. So we're waiting up our whole year to enable us to bring our friends to Mason, to Florence, to Oakley. We're loading it up. Here's a timeline of what the next several months looks like. First, we have Super Bowl. Super Bowl, yes, the Super Bowl of preaching. It happens this week. Hopefully you're thinking about who you can bring to this. Right after the Super Bowl, we are going to be advertising during the Super Bowl. One of the most intense series that we've done, a repeat of it. We're going to make it better, but it's the questions that's on the minds of seekers. It's the heavyweight series. The heavyweights. We're actually going to go toe-to-toe with what are the objections that people have with God? What are those objections? We don't think that anymore the way that people get reached is by you just kind of just tell them how to manage their time and give them one proverb and then they'll come to know Christ. That there's actually deeper, if someone's actually going to come to church, they want to be exposed to information that they couldn't normally have. And so we're actually going on the offensive to put tools in your hands that maybe your friends will hear about something and want to come. We're going to do radio ads over the next couple months. We're going to do radio ads on ESPN. We're going to do radio ads on 700 WLW. Would you like to hear a couple, maybe one? All right, let's cue it up. Let's go ahead. Let's hear it.
Hey, you ever wrestled a tough question? Like, what's the difference between Santa Claus and Jesus Christ? Let's see. Long flowing hair? Yep. A big deal around Christmas? Check. Sees you when you're sleeping? Probably. Naughty and nice list? Not sure, but I think so. So besides pants, what's the difference? Crossroads Church is wrestling that question and more. Like, do you have to be anti-gay to believe in the Bible? And how does faith stack up against science? Go to crossroads.net/radio for details. Come on, let's brain wrestle.
That's good. That was quick. That was 30 seconds. Let's do one more. I think we got one more, right? We got three. Just to do one more.
Things you should never bite. Gypsies. Things you should bite. Sausage. Things that bite. Church. Things you should never believe. Sound bites. Things you should wrestle with. Questions. Crossroads Church is wrestling with the big questions about God. This ain't no dress up nice and nod my head with the goody two shoes behind the microphone. This is knock down, drag out, 60 minutes of bring your toughest God question and prepare to do brain to brain combat. Go to crossroads.net/radio for details. Let's brain wrestle.
So, we're excited about having a fun intro with Super Bowl and then getting in some of the deeper issues that people are wrestling with. And then coming out of the heavyweights, we're going to do a series called Change the World. I mean, don't all of us want to be a part of something that's impacting society? We do. It's the story that we live in. We don't want to just be a carbon unit that fizzles out and didn't have any impact. So we're going to talk about how people band together to actually change the world. In the midst of that, we're going to do, again, the Beans and Rice Fast. Yes, the Beans and Rice Fast. We did this last year where we show, again, this is a deeper dive that we feel that all people, seekers and believers, need, where we're going to go for a period of time without our normal diet and the difference between what many of the world eats with beans and rice and our normal diet, we're going to put that towards worthy causes. And here's the great thing. We're banding together with dozens of other churches around the city of Cincinnati to do the same thing at the same time. So people, one of the things that people might believe in Cincinnati, well, the church is so divided. They got, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. We all go and fast at the same time together. Oh, no, we're not. No, we do things together at the same time. And so it's a beautiful thing that as God is growing Crossroads, we want him to continue to grow Crossroads. He's also growing unity in the body of Christ. That's why Jesus said that you will be one. It's not good enough for us just to have a church of six figures, which we will someday. It has to be in the context of a city where the body of Christ is operating together with all of our different personality types and all of our different unique callings and visions. And then coming out of that, then we're going to go Cincinnati. And we're going to show our city again, how we want to be tangibly involved. And by the way, we grow when we do these things. We grow when we do without. That's part of the reason why the giving thing is big. It's not that there's a cash flow problem at Crossroads. It's that there's a sacrifice problem. We grow when we come into the sacrificial life that Jesus comes into. So when we sacrifice our time and get engaged physically, like Jesus sacrificed his life and got engaged physically on a cross, which we just celebrate in communion, we grow. When we sacrifice our finances, we sacrifice like Jesus, who sacrificed his riches in heaven and coming down to earth. And so we do these things not just because these are a good thing to do, because we become more and more like Jesus as we do these things. So this is just a little snapshot of the next several months of where we're going and why we kind of string these things. Sound good so far? Who's not excited about the next several months? Are you kidding me? Amazing. So how do you invite somebody? Well, one thing you're going to be able to think about is you're going to be able to think about whose name do you actually want to put on the green side that you want to pray for? And you want to take this home. You just want to have it right there in front. You want to just have them before you. God, bring it. I want to intercede on the green, and I want to pray for that person whenever God, I pray for Enzo. Right? He's been a good guy. He's fixed my bike. He's done, man, I don't know all that's going on with him, but I'm thankful for him and thankful for he's helped me. I want to be a better friend to him and use me any way you can to intercede in his life. I pray those prayers. I pray those prayers really regularly. And then you go and you say, hey, I'd just like to know, I've got this thing going on at church. Might be interested in it, might not. But we're going to be looking at some pretty intense issues. And I don't know, I thought it might be a little stimulating fodder for discussion if you want next time we had a couple beers. It's an ask. Hey, I'm doing this thing every year. I do this Go Cincinnati thing. And I find it really helps me appreciate my city. Would you like to do this with me? It's just the ask. The centurion had to make an ask on behalf of his friend. Maybe God's going to grow us in that sort of courage. As we invite, we're going to continue to make more and more seats, more places for people to invite to. Our next campus we're about to announce, I'm going to announce it right now. As you know, we've got Oakley, we've got Mason, we have Florence, we have Westside coming in March-ish. Westside, yes. Our next campus, it's going to come, I don't know when, I'm not ready to give us a date yet, but our next one is going to be on the campus of UC. On the campus of UC. We believe that college students are, they need community as much or more than anybody. Am I right? We also believe that the future of our city's leadership is likely being germinated at UC's campus. We also believe there is a real need at UC right now. We've done surveys. We found out that of all the campus ministries that are there at UC, the number that's involved in campus ministries, all of them combined, navigators, all of them, is 400 students. 400 students out of 43,000 students. Man. So is there, now someone's like, oh, that's depressing. No, that's an opportunity. That's awesome. Oh, man. No, that's awesome. My word. We get to have a presence there. And it's amazing how God has been sending people who are on a faculty at UC in positions of influence who are excited about it and working with us on it. So I don't have a lot more to tell us at this point, but we want to bring students into relationship with God through a community. We want to mobilize them to change our world, change our city, which is exactly what students want. So if you want more information, go to Facebook.com/CrossroadsUC for updates. Man, a lot of stuff you're going on. Woo! Yeah, woo! The other site that we're working on, and this one's a little different, because this one, it's in the east side someplace. So way out in the east side. Anderson, Eastgate, we're just saying east side someplace. And we've got a growing group of people there who call themselves like a go group. A big go group that's gathering together to go to their community. And a couple hundred people are engaged. And we don't have the resources, and there's not a building there right now to actually house them for sort of official weekend services. But they're doing what they can to bless their community, to build into their community. They're going to start a last Wednesday service for folks on the east side. And they're doing other unique ways to go into the community and bless. And hopefully all this will be an infrastructure for when we have the resources and when we have the facility that we can actually rent or move into. So, man, friends, think about what we talked about just 3 years ago. We talked about this multi-site vision. People, oh, I don't know. Fred, look what's happening. Oh, my goodness. Mason is off the chain. You're dying for your new building. You want to go and have your building right now and live in the zero-degree weather on a concrete slab. You can't even fit in the schoolroom anymore. Florence is amazingly healthy and productive and growing in your site. Beautiful, beautiful. Oakley, as many people as we give away to other sites and may go there because we're in the center of them, people just keep getting filled right back up. They keep getting filled right back up. And so God is allowing us to do this because I believe we came under the authority of his direction when he started birthing this in our minds and hearts years ago. It's so good to be used by God, isn't it? I'm like, God, green, green. I want green. Give me, friends, if I can do nothing else tonight, if we could just all get in a posture and say, green, God, I'm not having my red up. I'm not putting my red up on anything, on my prayer life, on my anything, on my, God, green. I just want, because red is actually like this. This is red. None more me, God, no. This is red right here. No, none for me. I got enough, God. I can't handle it. Green is God, what do you got for me? What do you got? I want green. Whatever, one of the consistent prayers I pray, someone taught me this when I was first discipled. It's this. When I get up in the morning, I say, God, whatever you got going on today, I want to be a part of it. Whatever you got going on today, I want to be a part of it. Green. Third thing that happens with a centurion is that he believes this can happen. It's not that he just goes and intercedes. He believes. Great things happen when we believe great things can happen. I think we've done okay with this at Crossroads. I think years ago, we would talk about things that we felt God was calling us to, and I feel like we, at that point, sort of had a high percentage of arm crossers who didn't believe that, and I feel like this is one of the things that we've grown spiritually in. I'm really proud of all of us, is that I think we've seen God's goodness enough, and what happens when you come under the authority of Scriptures enough, that we're seeing these great things happen. And I'll tell you, the more of us who believe this, and the more of us who pray this, and the more who act this, the more that it happens. Here's how the story continues. And to the centurion, Jesus says, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Go, bam, healed. He believed it. He believed it, and it was tied to his action. I want you right now, if you've got a pen, go ahead and write down something on the green side that you want go. Something you're going for go time. A friend's name, several friends' names, something out right now. Just take it and write it down. Maybe it's just one thing and you'll have a more intensive experience in this later. Just take it and write it down. Write it down. One of the reasons why the stories of Jesus are so powerful is because we think in stories. We don't think in concepts. Very few of us could recount any of the Declaration of Independence or could recount any of the Constitution. Why? Because it's not a story. It's just precepts, the right principles, but it doesn't capture our imagination. It doesn't kind of, it's not catchy. We can't keep it in our mind. And these stories of Jesus are so great because he knows this. He actually tells stories, makes stories up called parables because they're things that stay in people's minds. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I was really surprised by, I shouldn't have been, but I was really surprised by one story I told in the last few months, how much traction it got. You know what story is. It's two words. What words are they? Phantom Lake. It's like amazing me. I didn't want to tell the story. It was a personal thing. I told the story and it's amazing how many people on Promise say, I'm going to Phantom Lake. I'm not going to tell the whole story right now, but just in general, there's a place I was trying to ride with some friends, and we couldn't make it, and we had to turn around and come back. It was this beautiful, pristine lake that my son got video of. I never saw it, and it's called Phantom Lake. It's across the border in Wyoming. It was a real heartbreak that we didn't get to Phantom Lake for a bunch of different reasons. And people have been saying this over and over. I'm going to family. I want to go to family. Because the call was to say, hey, let's envision something that's beyond where we are right now and is going to take work, that's going to take effort, that's going to take faith, that is not going to be easy. The people who don't have courage, don't have conviction, don't have belief, perhaps who don't have the Holy Spirit, will never get to do, won't do. But there's some who will. Who will band together and say, I'm going to a place that few people go. I'm going, and I tease that out big. Well, I had another test on that, gosh, about, several weeks ago. I decided this summer that I normally take a good trip in the summer, and I really felt like I've done a lot of stuff with my son out west over the last several years. We've been riding together, and I realized my girls have never been out west. My wife has. She and I have been out there, but my two daughters have never been out there. I'm like, all right, I need to rectify that right now, also known as rectifying. I need to do that, like, right now. I could say, I don't care who you are, that's funny, but it's probably not funny to somebody, it is to me. But so we're planning this trip to use frequent flyer miles, all that stuff, to get the whole family out there and do, like, a just look at the West, camp, all that kind of stuff. And while I was out there, and someone said, Someone said, "Hey, gosh, while you're out there, you're gonna go try to do Phantom Lake." I'm like, "No, I'll be on my bike, but the other girls they'll be in a rented Jeep, and I don't have the time. I'm not gonna do that." Okay. And then someone else asked me, and then I found somebody else. Some friends of mine were actually gonna go out and try to do it, not people I rode with, other people. And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, "I said, wait a minute, hold on. I'm gonna be in the general area. I'm gonna have my motorcycle." And it's my official break time. I will have the time. Why am I so quickly just dismissing, "No, I'm not going to do that"? Why is it? I thought, gosh, this is the way it is for a lot of us a lot of times. There's something that we have the conviction that we need to do, and we have the opportunity to do it, but we just think, "Oh, no, not now. Not now." So I really sense like God saying something to me on that. I was like, "Why not now?" So this summer, I'm going to hopefully make that happen by God's grace. I'm going to get up that freaking hill. We'll see if I can or not. But I just think there's something just in the same way that I didn't expect the Phantom Lake story to move us and capture our imagination like it has as a community. I think the completion of that story is the follow-through on this. Because the completion is saying, what am I going to do to actually move forward? And I just ask you and all, just ask you, what is it that you need to do to move forward with anything that we've talked about tonight? In fact, let's just take a moment of silence. And in this moment of silence, and I'm going to invite the bands to come out at all of our sites as well. In this moment of silence, why don't you just write whatever you need to write on that green side and get ready to actually do something soon to get up the mountain. So God, Spirit, would you speak? God, I believe that there's faith being exhibited right now that's on the downline of the Roman centurion's faith. And I trust that you're noticing that. I trust that great things are going to happen as a result of that. Help us to be a community that is under your authority, that's engaged with our friends, and has belief that crazy things can happen with a community that's committed like that. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.